This evening's reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for this season of Advent, a season of great hope. We give thanks for that. May my thoughts and words be pleasing to you in your name as the Father, as the Son, and as the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're approaching a time of year where wrapping presents is probably quite an important thing. Well, it's not important for me. Emma does all the wrapping, clearly, in our house. But we have this game in the Kelleher household where basically Emma saves up all the sort of a few bits of sales stuff and, you know, the odd game and the odd bottle of shampoo or something. And we play this pass the parcel game Christmas Day. And you end up getting something dodgy. The outer wrapping looks great, but what's inside is really rubbish. Remember one year I unwrapped something that looked really intriguing and nicely wrapped, and it was a glass saying, girls, big night out. I don't know what, Emma was trying to say. But also, packaging comes in all different shapes and sizes, and here we have two bottles of South African Shiraz, both about the same price. But one is authentic, in my opinion, and one isn't. One is bottled in South Africa, where you would expect a South African wine to be bottled. And the other is bottled in County Durham. The one that's bottled in County Durham is the flasher label, probably. It's the marketing man's idea of an authentic wine. And that's this one, Leopard's Leap. Okay, I'm going to put them over here. And after a service, should you so wish to prove me wrong, then you can always have a little try. The second one here, and I'll give you a tip right at the end, how to tell a good proper South African wine or an authentic South African wine from a non-one. I'll save that until not the end of the sermon, the end of the service. So we'll leave those there. So the authentic wine is the winemaker's idea of an authentic wine. It's not about the outer packaging. The marketing man's wine is the one where it's about the outer packaging. You can buy two bottles for a tenner. So it's about the price and the marketing, not necessarily what's on the inside. Now, in this passage of scripture, we've just heard Paul talk about, we've got this special gift in jars of clay. What special gift? Let's just go back a verse to verse 6. It wasn't on the reading, but it's worth starting with this. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Now, that would be easy to use that gift in the wrong way. That's awesome news. That's unbelievable news. But that's God, not us. We need to display it in jars of clay. Because of our bottle, outer packaging vessel should be made of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not us. The hope of the gospel is best placed not in vessels of gold or silver, which is quite how I like to portray myself, if I'm honest. Bit of polish, be a bit flash, I've got to have to confess to Rob the other day, I've got too much of that when I'm up here. Perhaps I'm thinking about how to be impressive rather than, so I need to repent of that. Someone could pray for me at the end, that would be great. That's not a joke, I actually mean that. But the hope of the gospel is best placed, as I said, not in vessels of gold or silver, but in jars of clay. Not in a vessel with our identity as our wealth, or not in a vessel as our identity as our status, not in a vessel as our identity in our looks, not in a vessel as our identity in our abilities. Our identity in Jesus is kept in vessels of clay because it's never about us and it's always about him. Clay vessels, like the South African wine in the non-marketing man's bottle, clay vessels have authentic substance. Advent season is a season of hope, and hope, you've all seen these, and the observant ones on you say, hope is coming, hope is coming. The grand narrative of the Bible, there's a lecturer at college talked about the grand narrative of the Bible, is this sort of lots of hope, then human beings fall back, lots more hope, human beings fall back, and we've got this cycle, starting from the creation story, where God's given us a wonderful place to live, and we want to do our own thing, we fall away. Then the chosen people go off, they promise the promised land, and they moan. And then shall we have kings? Shall we aren't have kings? Shall we have judges? Then we've got King David. We've got King Saul. Maybe this is how it's going to be. But neither of them really cut the mustard either. Then we have a period of time where not much is going on. And then the great promise of a baby being born. God chooses to reveal himself as this baby, removing of his godly powers. And that's in Advent. We look forward to that. But even beyond that, as we see St. Paul writing, there is great hope. Verse 17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. This is a great Advent message for us, and a great Advent message for the people that we want to engage with. But what next then, for the season of Advent, what's next for us? 3 points. Number one, we can display hope that is a gift authentically revealed. We can display hope as a gift that's authentically spoken. And we can display hope as a gift that is authentically eternal. In verse 10, we always carry, so the first one, hope as a gift authentically revealed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. We are being inwardly renewed in Jesus. We have deliverance in Jesus. We are being spiritually transformed in Jesus. As our identity in Jesus is revealed, his identity is revealed to those we engage with, to those we pray for, to those we minister to. Hope, so first point, hope this Advent is thus revealed to the world. Number two, hope as a gift authentically spoken. Verses 13 to 14, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. In Black's New Testament commentary series, C.K. Barrett says this, Paul does not say what he believes in this verse or what he speaks. It is sufficiently obvious what he believes is the gospel, which must, to be effective, meet with faith on the part of the hearers and must also proceed from faith. The spoken word proceeds from our faith in Jesus. The good news, in order to be effective, has to be presented to others, our family, our friends, our work colleagues, our neighbours. We must have the faith that leads to speech. Hope this Advent is thus spoken to the world. Number three, hope as a gift that's authentically eternal. Verse 18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. Question, what do our futures look like as a people whose identity is in Jesus? What do our futures look like as a people whose identity is in Jesus? We looked last week at Revelation 21. We can think about the Lamb's book, the book of life. All things here and now are temporary. The things to come for those in Jesus are eternal. Hope this Advent, then, that's eternal for those in Christ, equals and should then mean, and hope this Advent that needs to be talked about. We talked last week about, I don't know whether you were here, but trying to get into a nightclub, and the bouncer says, you're not on the list, you can't come in. We sometimes, Christians, fall into a sort of danger of, yeah, we're in the book, we're saved. But what happens if we hang on to it? We want others to be saved, right? We don't want to hang on to this gift. We have an eternal guarantee if we believe in Jesus with repentant and honest heart. So, the big idea. In this season of Advent, how is hope that we have, how should it be dispensed? Well, the short answer is by us. Hope this season in Jesus should be dispensed by us. We are the chosen vessel to pass on what this great gift means to us and what Jesus means to us. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, Paul talks in Ephesians 6. We are the primary mode of transport for this hope, the primary vessel from this hope. For this hope in Jesus is in us. It's our identity. Even though we are cracked and broken, even though we are hard pressed on every side, and even though we are often perplexed, we do not despair, because in verse 6 again, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So let our light and hope shine in the darkness this Advent, this Christmas, and always. Amen.